Thank you, ladies, very much. Thank you, Linda, for stepping in. Both Nora and Vanessa are unable to do it. Pray for them that God would heal their bodies and they could be back leading as soon as possible. But thanks, babe. Good morning. The title of my message today is Contagious Christians. And I suppose as we're sitting here today, we're praying that none of us are contagious. It's a little crazy, isn't it? As you know, I'm preaching through an illustration that the navigators developed called the wheel. Christ is the center of the wheel. He's the hub. It's where the power comes from. And we are to stay in connection with Him. He is the vine, we are the branches. There are two vertical spokes. The Word of God on the bottom, that is foundational, and prayer. And we've talked about both of those. Those are vertical, and they have to do with our relationship with God. Now the horizontal spokes are fellowship, we talked about that last week or 2 weeks ago, and evangelism, sharing the gospel, being contagious as Christians. Okay, and that's the topic for today. Matthew 4, 19 and 20, I want to share this with you. It's out of the Message. Walking along the beach of the Lake Galilee, Jesus saw two brothers, Simon, later called Peter, and Andrew. They were fishing, throwing their nets into the lake. It was their regular work. Jesus said to them, "Come with me. I'll make you a new kind of fisherman out of you. I'll show you how to catch men and women instead of perch and bass." They didn't ask questions, but they simply dropped their nets and followed Him. What an incredible encounter. You see, there's two things going on. In Jesus' relationship with the disciples, He said two very important things. He said, "You go fish. I am going to build my church. I will build my church, and I will make you fishers of men and women." And so, ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about church, and we talk about church revitalization, and we talk about reaching our community, we need to take it very seriously that our job is to be fishers of men, and Jesus will build His church. He is responsible. He's the only one who can. So therefore, as we prepare to walk into the future with a new pastor, we need to think focus. Focus. Our focus has to be not rebuilding or building this church. It must be in fishing for men and women, because Jesus is going to take care of this church. We need to think environment. We need to have an environment which brings people in encounters with Jesus. We need to think relationships. If we're going to reach this community, we have to build relationships with this community. And I tell you what, we have some people who are really trying to do that. People who invite basketball teams to come and work very hard, like Dennis, who spent a whole weekend with some help building relationships with this community. If we're going to reach them, we've got to build relationships with them, and we have to use what God's given us. And so if we can build relationships with the community through basketball, praise God. We have to become adept at it. And Dennis, thank you for reminding us of that, and others. And we got to think of the appropriate activities for people on different stages of the journey. Now, here's what I want to say about that. Evangelism is a process. Evangelism is a journey, okay? I have a tape measure here. Let's just open it up to 51 inches, okay? Let's say inch one is really lost. Those are the people you think about who you don't even think if Jesus came back and himself witnessed to them, they'd come to know Christ. They're that far away. And let's say that 51 is a person who is walking down the aisle to receive Christ in a church service this morning. He's about to cross over into the kingdom. This person is a long way. Our job, listen to me, in evangelism is to move people along this spectrum to where, so they can come from here to here. Okay? Now, how do we do that? It's a process. For instance, and we're going to talk about that detail in just a minute, but every day my goal should be to help someone or many someones move closer to the day where they will receive Christ. Now, watch this. How do you do that? How do you do that? Well, let's take our Bibles and turn to John 15, verse 1, and then we're going to go to 1 Peter 3. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will become even more fruitful. So if the Father is the gardener, and you just know what we just read, what is on God's heart? Fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. That's what he's majoring on. That's his heart. That people, you and I who are Christians, be fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Then verse 8. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And then verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Lord will give you. This is my command, love each other. Do you see the connection in that verse between bearing fruit and answered prayer? Let me read it again. So that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. There is a connection between bearing fruit, proper requesting, and answered prayer. But whatever you say, all I'm doing is laying a foundation. What is on God's heart for us and for Christians is that we bear fruit, that we are used to move people down this line towards conversion. That's his goal. Now, if you'll take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. We'll begin with verse 13. And who is going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against you, your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. Now I want to talk to you. As we walk in this room, we have social distancing. That's theoretically, is to protect you from contacting any disease, really, but especially to now the coronavirus. I just hate to mention it again. The coronavirus. So we're 6 feet apart, at least, unless we've been living together, and that's to prevent it. So if I wanted to infect you with something good, what would that mean? What's the reverse of social distancing? Social contact. You have to be in close relationship with someone. Another thing, I cannot infect you with the coronavirus if I have not had it or do not have it. Is that right? You're not going to affect a person with the gospel if you've never received Jesus. To infect someone with Jesus, you have to have him inside of you. And then you have to be in close proximity to them. Okay? Then one of the things that they ask us to do is wear masks. I tell you what, I cannot breathe. If I was a doctor, I would die in the operating room. I cannot breathe in those masks. Okay? But I've gone to the place where you order food, the drive-up window. Drive-thru. And all the restaurants have masks. And they come on the loudspeaker and they say this, "No, me." And I answer back, "No, me." And then we just see what we get. It's crazy. So I say, and see, I can't hear anyway. So if you're going, and I hear some weird things. Okay? To be contagious, take the mask off, and you have to speak the gospel clearly. Close proximity and clear presentation. And the presence of Christ will help you be a contagious Christian. I want to give you three or four things just to think about, and then we'll be gone. Number one, you become a Christian. Well, let me ask you something. What was more important, what Jesus did or what Jesus said? What Jesus said or what Jesus did? Well, they were exactly the same thing. The deeds of Jesus were the same as the words of Jesus. So the first thing you do to become a contagious Christian is that you follow the pattern of Jesus Christ. You follow the pattern of Jesus Christ. And I've found in the church, most people are either talkers or doers. They either proclaim the gospel or demonstrate it. They either make much of what Jesus did or make much of what Jesus said. And that's a very important thing. Some people say, I speak the gospel. Others people say, I show the gospel. But Jesus did both. He had a life and he had a message. And God interprets the message in the hearts of people through the Holy Spirit. So the pattern is to be consistent in what we say and what we do. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are a crazy driver, okay, and you speed and you cut people off, take all Christian stickers off your car. We don't need the bad advertisement. We want Christians who both live the message of Jesus and can speak it. And we're going to talk about that right now. You become a contagious Christian by doing the deeds of Jesus. Doing what he did. Verses 13 and 14. But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. I just think it's so important for us to do what Jesus did. And you know, when I read the Gospels, and I'm sure when you read the Gospels, you notice some things. Number one, it never says Jesus was going to heal the person, but he didn't have enough time. Jesus rushed. Jesus was surprised. You see, when we do the deeds of Jesus, first of all, we live a life of peace. We have this calm assurance that God's going to lead us to do the things that we need to do. And then you have a life of integrity. Our message must match our actions. I had lunch with a guy today, and he was this week, and he was telling me his testimony, and he said, what really caused me to come to Christ is I thought I was a Christian. But I went to work, and our pastor preached and asked us to invite people to church. So I invited this guy to church, and he said, are you a Christian? You don't live like one. And he said, that knocked me off my base. The people at work thought I wasn't a Christian. Do the people at work think you're a believer? Do they know it? Let me even ask a more penetrating question. Does your family know that you're a believer? I have done a lot of funerals. And when I meet with a family, the first thing I ask is, was so-and-so a believer in Jesus? And you will be shocked to find out how many people say, we really don't know. That compounds the sadness. The greatest gift you can give your family is to tell them, to show them, I am a believer. And if I die, it's called celebration. Because the angels in heaven have welcomed me home. You got to live a life of kindness and generosity. Do you know who started the hospitals and orphanage and soup kitchens in this country? And a lot of colleges. That's exactly right. Christians. You see, to do the deeds of Jesus, we love people and we try to meet them where they are and help them become who Christ created them to be. It's very important. And you become a contagious Christian by speaking the words of Jesus. Speaking the words of Jesus. Be ready to give an account. Be ready to share the gospel. 1 Peter 3:15 says, exalt him as Lord in your hearts. Another translation says, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy. How do you revere Christ in your heart? Well, let me make this suggestion. You call attention to Jesus. You call attention to Jesus. You make much of Jesus. You promote Jesus. Speak his name. Make him the issue. You know, we talk about a lot of things. We talk about Christianity, we talk about theology, we talk about church, we talk about ethics, we talk about morals, we talk about politics, we talk about racism, we talk about a whole lot of things. But ladies and gentlemen, the center of our conversation should be about the Lord Jesus. We should revere him in our hearts as holy. He is the one who died on the cross for us. He is the one who saved us. He is the Lord of the universe. He is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. We need to make much of Jesus. In this church, in every church, we need to talk about him. Let me ask you something. When was the last time you sat down and had a conversation about Jesus? I mean, with Christian or non-Christian. You had a conversation and made much of Jesus. Do you know that Jesus Christ is a stumbling block to the lost? I want to tell you something. You can get along pretty well talking about God, talking about Christianity, talking about morals, talking about ethics. But I want to tell you something. Where the rubber meets the road is, what do you believe about Jesus? What do you believe about Jesus? We need to revere him as Lord in our hearts. We need to make much of him. And you know what? As I evaluated my life, I haven't done that well. Recently, I've been talking about coronavirus and hurricanes and a lot of negative stuff, but I haven't focused on Jesus. And I think to be a contagious Christian, he has to cascade from your lips. His name. Let me ask you something. Do you love him? Do you get emotional about him? Or is he just Jesus? For us to be contagious, we have to have the real case of a love for Jesus. And we need to speak of him. And we need to live his kind of life. And it will be amazing what will happen. You know, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. We need to challenge people. The scriptures challenge people to taste and see that the Lord is good. We need to challenge people and say, you know, the Lord has been so good to me. Why don't you try and taste and see that he's good? And he will change your life because he changed mine. And then finally, you become a contagious Christian by imitating the humility of Jesus. This is to be done in gentleness and respect. Some translation says humility and respect. You see, when we're trying to move someone along the line, the atmosphere in which it's best done is like Jesus in humility and respect. People will respond to that. You see, we're not better than anybody else because we're Christians. But Jesus makes all the difference in the world. Now you remember they were having an argument in Corinth over who was the best pastor. And some were saying Paul and some were saying Jesus. Well, if you ever get into an argument over the best pastor, go with Jesus. All right? But what did Paul say to them? Can anybody tell me? What did he say? I watered, some planted, and some harvested. Do you remember that? In 1 Corinthians. So, a person starts, and he grows up in the nursery. How many of you have ever worked in the nursery? How many of you have ever shared the gospel with little kids? Okay, so they grow up in the nursery and in children's ministry, and they begin to hear about Jesus, and they begin to sing songs from grandmother that like Jesus loves them, and they're moving on down this line. Well, then they get in youth and go to youth camp and they hear a speaker and they're challenged to come to Christ and to follow him and to give him their life. And they're moving on down closer to conversion. So then they come home and they sit under a good youth teacher and hear the gospel ever so often, learn about Jesus and all that he's done and the truths of scripture. And they're getting closer and closer down the line. Then all of a sudden an evangelist comes in and he preaches a gospel message and they give an invitation at a revival and boom, he comes down the aisle and receives Christ. Who led him to Christ? It starts down here. So if I can say one thing, if I can do one thing that moves a person closer to Jesus, that's what I'm supposed to do. Because we know that He's the only one who can bring the increase. It's His job to save them. So I get very nervous when a guy comes in and preaches and someone comes down and then he lists in his newsletter, I led 14 people to Christ. 14 people. And it totally neglects all the people who had worked so hard all that person's life. Now I'll tell you, sometimes you get blessed and you walk in and it seems like the person... Seems like the person's lost his mind. And you present the gospel and they'll receive him. That is incredible. Very rarely. We need to say, I watered today. I got to share my story. I planted some seed today. And every once in a while, because they who goeth forth weeping, bearing their precious seed, shall doubtless come rejoicing, bringing their sheaves with them. And every once in a while, you will sit down with someone, and all these people and all these circumstances have worked in their life, and they're ready to cross the line into the kingdom of God, and boom, you get to pray with them. And that's a glorious moment, isn't it? I pray that every person who hears this sermon will get to do that someday. We'll get to pray with someone. If you have not, and hear them receive Christ. I tell you what, it's one of my opinions that we will not have kingdom outcomes in our lives and our ministries if we don't have the humility of Jesus. I think what the world needs now is humble Christians who make much of Jesus, intentionally trying to live as He lived. And then our prayer, Thy kingdom come, will become a reality if we humbly live and speak like Jesus. So evangelism is a process, it is a journey. And we all can be involved. And this week, my prayer is that you water, plant, and maybe the Lord will bless you with an opportunity to see Him bring in the harvest. But you see, folks, that's what a Christian life looks like. It begins with a foundation in the Word, then prayer, then strengthening through fellowship and community, and then we have a message to share. The man who discipled me was named Gene War, and one afternoon he called and said, I've got to go out to Weatherford to speak, and I want you to come with me. And that was a big part of his discipleship ministry, and so I talked to Linda, and we said, okay, and so I got in the car, and I was driving. He said, I want you to speak when we get there. And I said, what? I want you to speak. So what are you going to speak on? And I said, I have no idea. I have no idea what I'm going to speak on. And he said, well, speak on something that you're doing well. Are you good at praying? No. Well, don't speak on prayer. How's your scripture memory going? Well, it's okay, but I wouldn't feel like getting up and challenging people to memorize scripture at this point. So don't speak on that then. And I could kind of feel him thinking, what do you do? He says, well, how's your quiet time? I says, I'm good. I got it. I have a quiet time almost every day, and I spend time with Jesus, and he seems to be speaking to me through it. He said, that's what you're going to speak on. And then he said, you don't understand what being a pastor is, do you? Because I'd surrender to be a pastor. And I said, I think I do. And then he said, Liz, here's what it is. A pastor is a person who has developed a healthy and vital relationship with Jesus, who maintains a vital and healthy relationship with his wife, who maintains a happy, healthy relationship with his children, and who maintains a happy, healthy relationship with others at work and at play and at church. And then he said this, and I'll never forget it, obviously. He said, and your ministry is sharing with people how you did that and how they can do it too. Your ministry is sharing with people how you develop a healthy community and communion with Jesus, and you walk with, how you have a great relationship with your family, how you have a great relationship with others. And in your church, you share with people how you do that. That's your ministry. And so you focus on being a man of God. And God will multiply your ministry. If you're faithful in the small things, He will let you be involved in some really big things. My prayer is that you spend the rest of your life just helping people move down the line toward Jesus. Okay? Do you have any questions? I know this is unusual, but who knows? I may have a new disease that no one knows about, and it's eating my brain right now. What? Do you have any questions about evangelism, about what I've said, anything you want me to clarify? Okay, stand up if you want. No, sit down. Someone said, when you're in charge, for God's sake, don't blow a medley. I just did. Stay seated, but in a moment, I want you to stand up one at a time and tell me who led you to Christ. Who shared the gospel with you that last time and got to pray with you to receive Christ? Probably a lot of people did. So, let's just stand up. I'm not going to call on you. Just be polite and one person at a time. So we'll start with Linda. Linda, who led you to Christ? Okay, so it was an evangelist and a revival service. Someone else. Okay, another revival. Someone else. I'm sorry. Uh-huh. That's great. Thank you. Someone else. Who led you to Christ? Yeah, Great. Youth conference, 13 years old. Connie? That's great. VBS, Vacation Bible School. One more person, and then we're going to go. Falls Creek. Anybody else receive Christ for the pray and receive Christ at Falls Creek? There's two, three, four. Yeah, Falls Creek. One of the saddest things I heard this whole time is that they canceled Falls Creek. Because hundreds of people, thousands, come to Christ each summer. All right, folks, we're going to come. Linda's going to sing, have us sing, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And that's kind of how we're going to end this. And thank you so much for coming. Invite people to come. It's safe. We're going to do social distancing. We've got hand sanitizers, and you can wear a mask if you want to. And we'll try not to be contagious with disease, but we will try to be contagious as Christians. Thank you very much.